You know, Moses is probably, even though we know Moses, is one of the most important people in the Old Testament. Moses is an inspiration to, should be, to all clergy. Now, his flock of 3 million were complaining against him. I know preachers who quit their churches because somebody said something to them, hurt their feelings. Well, I like to remember what President Truman said, if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen, you know? And that's true. I mean, you know, we're all human. We're susceptible to flaws. And it goes for clergy as well as the congregation, lay people. And, you know, you've got to take that into consideration. And a lot of times, but Moses was doing his best. Look what he had done. He'd left the royal family of Egypt and sided with his own blood-related people. He left Egypt. He had a number of challenges along the way. And the more he tried to help them out, they complained about everything. And they didn't even have Excedrin in those days. So you have to remember what Moses had to deal with. So whenever you see somebody in a leadership position, I don't care whether it's the president, the governor, the head of the garden club, or whatever it is, you just remember they're trying to do their best and trying to make it the best organization they can. And if they fall short, guess what? Why don't you help them out? That's what you can do. That's what people should do if you see somebody in need. And fortunately, Moses had a good support group, his brother and his sister and different ones. But Moses was a person that I truly admire. You know, last Sunday, the sermon setting was about 500 years earlier than in this story with the patriarch Abraham, if you remember. But today's message focuses on Moses and the Israelites in their struggle to return to the promised land. The experiences and tribulations of the Israelites are so familiar and well known, which we forget that similar dilemmas can happen to us. Hardship breeds plethoras of why is this happening? Why us? Why now? Does life have to be so brutal? You know, people of faith are often very quick to offer illogical reasons for their troubles. No doubt, evil plays a role, and it can never be underestimated in our world and lives. But God isn't absent. Remember that. God doesn't take a vacation, or God doesn't go on a holiday. God is here with us all the time. And God's guidance was so obvious here in the Old Testament, here in the book of Exodus, where the children of Israel was sojourning toward the promised land, that there is no explanation that holds water except that God wanted them there where they were. Have you ever known people be in a job and they constantly say, oh, I don't like this job, it's awful. Well, you know, it probably is true. But I also have a belief in almost a providential thing that you are where God wants you to be at the present. Now, it may not be a pleasant picnic, but did you ever think sometime you may be the person that influences the best that can happen in their decision making? So sometimes, and I've been in those places where I said, why am I here, you know? But then I realized in retrospect, that God wanted me there in the first place. And you know, that goes for a church home. You know, people don't realize this. You don't really pick your church out. God leads you to the church. I really believe that. You're not here by accident or coincidence. God has sent you here, and God wants you here, and God wants you to serve Him whatever capacity you can. But it's not by just happen chance that you're in the church here, because God guided you to this church. So we wonder why God may be permitting us to experience ugly escapades or why our lives are in an allegorical desert. Listen up, the Israelites had just come into the desert after crossing the Red Sea. It was hot, and they'd been walking miles while getting thirstier all the time. They didn't have rest areas in those days, as we know. They continued to follow God's leading, and God brought them to an oasis. But guess what? the water was completely undrinkable. It was unfit. In their disappointment and frustration, they called the place Marah, which in Hebrew means bitter, bitter water. And you know what happened? Moses had to ask God about it. But what's it like being a traveler in the wilderness with only God's divine guidance to lead? Well, it was by God's help. Moses purified the water under God's guidance and instruction. And after a while, they traveled on to another oasis in the desert. The Israelites followed that cloud by day, you know, the fire at night, the pillar of fire. It was sent by God. You know, hot climates and disagreeable circumstances can be miserable if a person isn't flexible to endure. I've been reading the biography of Dr. Nelson Bell called A Foreign Devil in China. And there was a fellow Southern Presbyterian missionary there served with him. His name was Reverend Jimmy Graham. And he was described by Dr. Bell as a very gentle, amusing Virginian who was always young at heart. And Dr. Bell commented that Graham loved books and a good game of tennis and loved all kinds of fun and was a thorough evangelist. It was when he first started in China in the 1880s as an evangelist, way out in the middle, we would call it the boondocks today, out in the middle of nowhere, he would return from the countryside covered with spit. He was black and blue from all the sticks and stones thrown at him. And once a dead chicken landed on his head. There were some interesting things happened to that man out there in the middle of nowhere. He worked 3 years without one single convert, laughed off the insults, hatred, and attacks. In later years, when asked if he ever became discouraged at such a hostile environment and bitter climate of extreme heat, and I liked what his comment was as recorded by Dr. Bell. He said, he was never discouraged because he knew the battle was the Lord's and the Lord would win. Keep that in mind when you think you're in a hopeless situation or cause. God's not giving up. We may get frustrated. We may be physically and mentally, spiritually and emotionally exhausted, but God's going to pull something off there. Now, it may not be exactly what you thought it would be, but God's going to do it. God never loses. You know, I've shared this with people. I shared it with a public committee one time, wanting to know my call in the ministry. You know, I fought that call hook, line, and sinker. I wanted to do my own thing, but guess what? God won out in the long run. You cannot go up against God and think you're going to win. If God wants you, God's going to get you. And it's always the get you is very positive, by the way. So Graham said that he knew that God would be the winner. He was just the tool of the Lord. He was just the mouthpiece. But he knew that something, that it would happen and everything. And, you know, it proved out truly. That area of China became the most evangelized part of the country. There became more Christians in the area, and most of it was due to the preaching and evangelism of Dr. Graham there. He organized churches, he organized schools and large orphanage. He continued to travel for weeks at a time back out in that area. And you know, it was said that his Chinese was atrocious, but they grew to love him. Said his wife spoke Chinese better than he did, so they always joke, let's go hear Mrs. Graham preach and listen to Dr. Graham go on about other things. And he and his wife became second parents to the Bells, became second grandparents to their children, and so close to the Bell grandchildren did Jimmy Graham become that years later in Montreat, North Carolina, he married Ruth Bell to Billy Graham. Now, they were no relation, but that's who married the Grahams, was Jimmy Graham there. And all this, the victory was the Lord's. Keep that in mind when you're facing an obstacle. And it doesn't have to mean you go to China to face an obstacle. It can be a family situation. It may be a financial. It may be anything. It may even be a grouchy neighbor. You never know what it could be. But God, if you turn it over to God, God will see to it. God will. The thing is, we have to have the faith and believe that God's going to do it. And God will in the long run. And God will only do good in that. So the children of Israel had something else happen to them. They started running out of food. Amazingly, God fed them, came to the rescue. There was another miracle in the desert. This time, God created the main entree on the menu, manna and quail. You know, manna was the bread that came from heaven. And for the next 40 years, they dined on it. But now the Israelites were in a solid complaining mode. They even griped about the manna and quail after a while. Being on this journey was not easy for those Israelites. They had not anticipated hardship. When Moses broke the news to them in Egypt that they were leaving, that the Pharaoh had granted them their freedom and they could go, they thought it was going to be a pleasant walk. It was going to be a bed rest. It was going to be like a Sunday school picnic. They didn't realize what they were encountering. You know, we do that sometimes. We imagine something and we have an idyllic vision about it. And what happens in reality is it's sometimes not as good as we thought it was going to be. And so we have to have a reality check ever so often. Their expectations fell short significantly, and we're astonished to find so many difficulties and trepidations. Amid all these frustrations, there took place the most amazing miracles ever. How many of us have ever seen the Red Sea part? Well, they did. They saw it, and the manna and quail showers that were coming down, amazing, and the pillars of cloud and fire. That's not everyday occurrences. The Bible also tells us that God altered their route in coming out of Egypt. Now, if you look on a map, it's a straight shot into the Holy Land from Egypt through the Sinai. But if you look at any Bible maps, look at your Bible out sometime and look at the routes they took, and it's pretty fair. Most of the maps are pretty accurate. They zigzagged all over like a Singer sewing machine at work. They really did. And you know the reason why? God was watching out for them. Because if they had gone that straight route, they would have run smack dab into those bloodthirsty Philistines. And they would have been massacred. Because these were newly freed slaves. They had no weapons. They had nothing like that. These Philistines were well armed. And they were not friendly people. And so God looked out and told them at the intersection, you're going to have to go this way or that, but you're not going straight on. You're going to go my direction. God was the best GPS that they could have ever had. So sometimes, do you ever have instances, and we lose our patience sometimes, when you're getting ready to plan something, maybe go just, you can go downtown, or you might make a trip to Lakeland or maybe down to Lake Wales or somewhere, and you're delayed. You ever get frustrated about that? Sometimes God may have put that delay because there could have been something that you could have been, maybe an accident. Any speculation would have been possible. So remember, if you're delayed on something, remember that might be God telling you that He's holding off because He wants to protect you. So keep that in mind a lot of times when you're out there. Because and you may even be on driving a road and it may be a detour, but there may be a reason for that other than what the highway department is doing there. So truthfully, God's wisdom prevailed among the Israelites. If the children of Israel had known what was coming while they were in Egypt, they would have never stepped away from those pots of meat and pomegranates in their fantasy land of Egypt. See, they were now having a big nostalgia kick over their lives in Egypt. Well, what's so fun about being a slave? They were whipped daily. They were groveling. I mean, they were kicked around. It was not a paradise there. And yet they were fantasizing, oh, if we'd only stayed, look at what we'd have. Uh-uh. That's the way a lot of times we do the good old days. Now, there are a lot of good old days, and we know it. There were good things going on, but at the same time, a little while back, you had, what was it, polio, diphtheria, rubella, scarlet fever, typhoid fever, tuberculosis. Even if you had a bad tooth infection, you may or may not, it might have been even a death sentence because the infection would have set in. So, yes, there were some good times, and I'm not saying there were not, but think about some of the medical signs. Maybe a lot of people, you'll go to the cemetery and look how young a lot of people were when they died. It was because they didn't have the medicines that they do today. And so that happened. But the Israelites were wanting to turn around, make a U-turn in that desert and go back across the Red Sea into Egypt and submit themselves to the tyranny of Pharaoh rather than trust in God. You can't do that. You cannot do that. That's what they did in Great Britain in the 30s. They were trying to appease Hitler. Well, Hitler's not all that bad. Except one person said, Winston Churchill was the only one in Great Britain who said, that man is going to start a war. But all of them, a lot of people in government and in England said, oh, no, he's a nice man. Well, you know what? We know what happened now. We've seen the rest of the story. So many times we have to look at things from the perspective of God and what is best for us from God's angle and not from us. And, you know, the Israelites had to have an awakening there. You know, would it benefit us if to know in advance what God's plans are for us? Well, to a degree, I think it would, but what would become of the faith factor which facilitates action on our part? If we had it all spelled out for us, we could even loosen up and move away from God a little bit. Now, God never moves away from us. We move away from God. We get comfortable. We get sedate and, you know, almost to the point to where, you know, we don't really care. So we have to be careful about things like that. Or we're not, our faith is going to get flabby. You know, like if you don't watch how much you eat or take a little exercise, our bodies get flabby. But the God who walked with the Israelites continues to be presently proactive throughout our entire lifetime by carrying out his plans for us. The Israelites were not the only ones God looked after. God is looking out for us too. But God was exasperated by the Israelites' disobedience, but he remained understanding even when their distrust of him was very plain for all to see. You know what they did? While Moses was upon Mount Sinai getting the Ten Commandments, they had Aaron make a golden calf. Think about that. Thou shalt not have no graven image. And here's what they did. They built a statue in honor of a calf to worship. And God is spirit and in truth. And boy, they broke one of the commandments right there. But we have to remember we substitute things sometime for God for security reasons. And we know God will take care of us. Now, that does not alleviate our thinking process or anything, but God will provide. God never lets us down. But people will say, well, they look up and say, oh, God's not too good. Maybe perhaps their faith has not been developed enough that they can see God's workings in what's going on around us. The book of James says that we are considerate, pure joy when we're faced with trials of many kinds, because facing trials leads to a more mature faith. Well, the Israelites may have not liked challenges, but God was transforming them. I don't like challenges. I don't like trouble. You know, there's some people who like to stir trouble up. How many of you ever known people like to stir trouble up? Well, I don't like it because you know what? Trouble's going to come to you anyway. So why bring it to you before it's supposed to be there, you know? And that happens to a lot of people, we see. But even in those challenges that you face, you will learn things, and a lot of times it will make you a stronger Christian by doing so. You know, so many of us have been caregivers to our parents or maybe relatives or something. It's a tiresome thing. You know what I'm speaking about. I've talked to people all the time about this. It's not a glorifying profession, and I say that tongue in cheek. Being a caregiver, and the reason we are, it's because we love the people that we care for. But it's exhausting. It can be very debilitating, mentally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. But guess what? I guarantee, and it's happened to me, that you can be of help to somebody who's going through the same thing eventually. So God never wastes anything. Even those bad moments that we think, well, what on earth am I going through? Or as George Burns always said about Gracie Allen, why does everything always happen to me? But sometimes that everything happened to me may be there because God may want to use us to help somebody out down the road. So don't forget that. Now, during the time we're in the cannon fire, we don't really think like that. But you think back on times that you've helped somebody because you have gone through a similar experience. God can use us. Even when we haven't volunteered, God can use each of us for what He wants us to do. You know, remember, God was in control over the situations the Israelites faced, even when their faith was stretched to turn to Him because they had no one else to turn. And also remember this, keep in mind, and it says it throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, is the arm of the Lord too short? Is anything too difficult for God? Think about that. There's nothing that is impossible with God. So remember that. Be reassured. God will never let us down. And that is something. We may or may not trust our political leaders or movie stars or even King Charles III, but we must trust God to care for us. God is not so much interested in our skills and experience, but God simply wants our obedience. In this world of instant gratification, obedience in today's society isn't very popular, but think of it this way. The best things take time. And you know, today, in this microwavable society we live in, we like everything push button, and we want it done yesterday. But God still works things out. And that's where we get in trouble, because we expect God to jump at our command like we train a dog or a cat to do so. Probably more of a dog than a cat. But the thing is, God does not jump at our whim. We are to wait upon the Lord and allow Him to work with us. And so keep that in mind. God will see us through it. And I've had people come to me in the past crying to me. Their marriage has fallen apart. I don't know what to do. My wife left me, or my husband left me. And I think it's the same. And they start going on that, what sin did I commit? You've heard me preach about this before. I said, you didn't commit a sin. Perhaps, maybe, you jumped the gun on God and married the wrong person. Now, I say it a little bit more softer than that, more diplomatic. I don't like to pull the Band-Aid off too quickly. But the thing is, we sometimes have this habit of wanting to move ahead of God. We don't want to do that. But we get impatient with God. We don't see God working fast enough for us. So we gallop like a racehorse at the Kentucky Derby, thinking we're going to do what we can and fix it up. Wait upon the Lord. It says that throughout the Bible, both Old and New Testament. They that wait upon the Lord. So remember that in your daily life. Whatever it is, remember, God is already preparing things. All we have to do is be there and be obedient to Him. In this, as I said, in this world of instant gratification, being patient and being obedient is not a very popular item. But the best things take time, but God is prepared to inspire and bring powerful results to our faith at any given minute. Will you let God do that for you today or perhaps tomorrow? God will come through for each of us. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for providing us with stories about the children of Israel, the struggles that they had in the Sinai desert, the struggles Moses had too. But, Lord, we're no different than they are. We struggle as well. We may not be wandering throughout the wilderness as they did, but our wilderness may be something different, but it's still the same. Let us always remember that let us hang on with our faith, and let us let you guide us and hold on to our hands. Because it says in Scripture that you will never let go of us. Thank you, God, for being you and no one else. We ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.